prophetically inclined are those who are interested in becoming engaged in that aspect of the Lord's manifestations.
Last evening, as Keith and I were settling in to go to sleep, the room was dark, and as old married couples do, I'm facing one direction and he's facing the other. And I heard the sound of almost like the cacophony of a news broadcast where a lot of reporters are gathered together and they're all reporting the same thing at once, but there's the lead broadcaster's voice that you can pick out among the others. And I thought Keith must have started listening to something on his cell phone. So I turned over to see what he was doing, and the man was asleep. So I said to the Lord, "What am I hearing?" And the Lord said, "That is the sound of the broadcast that's going out among the prophets. This is an invitation. This is a season to attune our ears to a level that we have not yet been attuned to in the past, and be able to differentiate his voice among all the broadcasts that will be going out."
Thank you, Eric.
I have to acknowledge that I have been in a very unusual season with the Lord for the last 3 months. Just the week prior to the month of prayer and fasting in February, I just can't get near his presence without weeping. And there's been such an extraordinary presence of the Holy Spirit for me. It's kind of like a fresh wind of God in my life. And I can't help but notice how generous the Lord has been to our Father's house with his presence as we've been gathering. You know, we've seen a lot of extraordinary things the last 6 weeks. Is that not true? Okay. Now, I'm going to introduce what I want to do today with a video that may confuse you when you see it, but I'll make it clear to you after we have viewed it.
Thank you.
You've just seen a parable of why some people leave the ministry. And others refuse to enter in. Now, what's wrong with this picture, in addition to frantically running around in a tuxedo? Okay? When ministry is a one-person show, the one person has to keep all the plates spinning. Okay? Now, in that context, if someone is remotely interested in trying to enter ministry, what they see is all they know. And it means ministry is what happens on the stage. And very few in the audience are willing to go onto the stage. And so what the one-man show does is he hires staff so that each one is spinning a plate or a bowl. And the audience continues to sit there and watch the show because they know they can't do that. But one of the hired staff, their real skill is jumping rope. But there's no place for jumping rope because here we spin plates. And so they have to leave here to go start another show where they jump rope. And all the time, the audience is sitting there watching the show. And so what do we teach the audience? How many people were in the audience? You have no idea. Because the audience is not important. It's the show that's important. But there were people in the audience, right? Yes. But all the attention is focused on the show. Now, what is it that the people in the audience say to themselves when they consider the possibility that God might want them to be involved in ministry? The first thing they do is to say, oh, I could never do that. I'm not that talented. I don't want to have to do that much work. So what are we training the audience to do if all we do is the show? Well, some will invite others to come see the plates spin. Boy, they can really spin plates at this show. You ought to come over here and watch. And some will stop coming because all they ever do is just spin plates. Others will learn to sit around and keep watching, hoping something will break. And others will learn to be critical because the plate spinner didn't get it right the first time. Is this parable making any sense? I'm not a fan of that particular approach. And eventually, the plate spinner can't keep that up, and the show is over, and we hire another entertainer to do his show so we can watch. I don't want to be unkind in highlighting the fact that there are those on the stage who simply don't know any better. They've been trained to be the show, and they've trained the people to watch the show. And we draw a crowd that the show is really good. Now, I was afflicted with that early on, and I had to learn the hard way not to do that. I want to address three issues before we turn you loose in the show. because at our Father's house, we have a whole cast of characters in the show. And they don't all do the same dance. They don't all sing the same song. Some are stagehands. Some are directors. Some are facilitators. Some are actors. Some are recipients. But our Father's house is a cast of characters. And you're invited by the Holy Spirit to be part of the show because He wants to show Jesus through every single one of us. And we all carry something of Him that needs to be put on display. I had to learn to let plates break. Because I can tell you from experience, trying to meet the expectations of everybody in the house will put you in an early grave. I had to learn to say, "Your money perish with you. I am not for sale." When I resigned from doing it all, I had to start making place for those who can do what I can't do. Tim is away this morning being a grandfather and celebrating his wife's birthday with the grandchildren. None of you fully appreciate how much that brother does at our Father's house. And he loves it. He loves what he does. For me to do what he does with such ease would suck the marrow from my bones. Because I'm not an administrator. I can fake it for a little while, but I'm more a philosopher. And when Tim is sitting in a room of men and women with whom I'm philosophizing, here's where he goes. But the moment you start talking about action steps, he's whoop. And I love that about him. And we are an interesting partnership over these last almost 30 years, I guess, he's been with me. But we also have many others who serve out of their grace and gifting. And though they may get tired, they never get weary. Because they're doing what they were designed to do in the schematic of God in their life. There are those of us who are unavailable. In this season of healing that we have been experiencing, which has been just wonderful, many of you, how many of you have been healed in the last few weeks? And how many of you have been participants in the prayer for healing? Okay? We've seen some really good stuff, and just watch the circle of testimonies ignite more healing. That's such a wonderful display of the Lord. But others of us have just sat here watching. In a house where everybody gets to be part of the cast. I don't know all of the excuses that people use to be unavailable to the Lord, but I know some because I've heard them. Like, I believe God will do it through others, but I don't believe He'll do it through me. Anybody resonate with that? Yeah, nod your head or wink your eye. Don't raise your hand. They'll look at you. And then there's always those who come in among us who go, "I'm not sure I believe this stuff. All that died out with the apostles." You know, it's one thing to say that. It's another thing to see it's not true. Okay? All right, here's the problem I have when you write off the demonstrations of spirit and power. All you have left is words. And everybody's got words. But when the leg grows out, when the back is healed, when the eyes are open, when the dead are raised, doesn't matter what your words are. God just showed up. I'm not worthy for the Lord to use me like that. Now that's just believing the lie and lying against the truth that God has made you worthy. And he says so in his word. I'm afraid to try. Now that one is easy to believe. So I rarely ever ask you to do anything by yourself. Because you need to be mentored. You need to have somebody stand with you and educate you in your experience with the Lord. Well, I've tried that before and nothing happened. Well, it's not up to you to make something happen. It's up to him to make something happen. I told you guys we were in a meeting a few weeks ago in Cuba, and a man who had prostate cancer on a catheter, headed for surgery the next morning, got prayed for that night. When he went to the hospital the next morning, they sent him home because the Lord had healed him. He testified in the meeting where I was on Sunday morning through his tears of joy. Now, in teaching the principle of precedent, I said, if we've seen it, we can ask God for it. So I prayed for another man right here in this house, and yesterday he went through surgery, the day before yesterday he went through surgery, and they removed his prostate. I can't explain that, but I'm not going to stop praying. Because I can't command the Holy Spirit to show up. I can simply create an atmosphere where he can if he wants to. I never presume to understand the mind of God about every scenario, but I do understand the general principles, and I'll continue to practice them while he refines me in that journey. I'm uncomfortable praying out loud. Yeah, you get it. Healing is not my gifting. Well, that's true. There are gifts of healings. There are demonstrations of spirit and power. There are those who have a particular grace for signs and wonders. I've been hanging around with Mahesh Chavda for over 30 years, and that boy I've stood at his side and seen things I didn't know God would do, and things I can't explain. Why in the world would feathers suddenly start raining out of the atmosphere? What does it mean when you're standing there and golden-like flecks, looks almost like glitter, starts to materialize on your body? I'm reduced to this explanation. It's a sign that makes you wonder. There are multiple gifts and graces along with developed talents and practical skills within any gathering of God's people. And all of that is to be put on display for the glory of God. And there are some things that are on the bottom shelf. That is, they are accessible to all of us. And one of them is this: these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. And if you happen to be in Africa and someone brings you an orange Fanta that's already had the cap removed and there's poison in it because the witch doctors are trying to kill you, and you turn the thing up like this, drink it all, and nothing happens to you, you drink any deadly thing and it will not harm you. Ask Bonnie Chanda. She'll tell you that story. They. Who is they? These signs shall follow them that... Who are they? The believers. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they, the sick, shall recover. That's everybody's responsibility. Okay, I'm going to. Give me a moment. Can y'all remember when it was against the law to laugh in church? Really? Michael Jr. talks about that. He said he was sitting in church, he was 7 years old, and this lady was dancing, and her wig fell off. And he thought that was the most hilarious thing. He's just laughing, and Grandma reaches over and pinches and twists. He said, now I can understand the pinching, but twisting, that's the devil. He talked about going in one Sunday, and there's a coffin up front with a body in it. And he said, well, I don't know much about church. Maybe it's just the way they roll. Every now and then they bring a body in. And said the preacher was up there. And it sounded like he was saying everybody else was responsible for this man dying. I turned to Grandma and said, "Mom, Grandma, what's with the man in the box?" She goes, "Oh, he's in a better place." That's the only explanation she gives to a 7-year-old grandson. He thinks, "What kind of box did he live in before?" Yeah, that wasn't in my notes. I just threw it in because we ought to be able to laugh in church. Now, when you hear me say, as I frequently do, we want to create an atmosphere of expectancy for the activity of the Holy Spirit. Okay? There's a reason for that. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus is teaching in the synagogue in his own hometown, and the people are amazed at what he was saying, thinking, "Where did he get this wisdom, this knowledge, this understanding?" And then they begin, "Now, wait a minute. That's Mary's boy. He grew up here. His brothers and sisters are here with us." And they became offended at him. And listen to what happened in that atmosphere. "And he could do no miracle there except he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he wondered at their unbelief." Now, when you don't create an atmosphere of expectancy where the Holy Spirit can do what he will do that no one else can do, you teach people to be filled with unbelief because they don't see it, they think it's over. And you develop a theology of cessationism. That means God doesn't do this stuff anymore. And the moment you do that, you can X out the book of Acts. You can X out chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians. You can X out some of the things that James says about anointing with oil and seeing them healed. You can just get rid of a whole bunch of scripture and live in a controlled environment where you never have to go at risk. You never have to look bad. Unbelief. Now, this is an interesting word because it means unfaithfulness, faithless, weakness of faith. If you don't engage with the Holy Spirit, you limit your ability to grow in faith because the promises of God are yes and amen to every generation. To every generation. Now, what we have most of the time is a lack of demonstration. We haven't been mentored. I have been mentored by some really extraordinary people. And I take what I have seen and heard and learned and received, and I practice it, and I practice it, and I practice it. And as I do, I discover more that I didn't know. Because I make myself available to the Holy Spirit. As many as are led by the Holy Spirit, these are what? The sons of God. Now then, the alternative to unfaithfulness is stated like this. Luke chapter 16. "He who is faithful in a very little thing demonstrates they have the character to be faithful in larger things." If you'll be faithful in the little, God will add to your little. And when you become faithful in a little bit more, you get a little bit more understanding, a little bit more understanding, a little bit more understanding that leads you into greater opportunity. The Lord has challenged me on a couple of things in the last 2 weeks that are going to test my willingness to go at risk with the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to keep giving him my yes. Because safety is not part of my agenda. Well, for those of you who have refused to become participants with the Holy Spirit, I'm confronting your apathy, your reluctance, and your disobedience. Now, I'm not the Holy Spirit, so it's not my job to make you available to him. But I'm going to throw you, your conscience, and his word in the ring with him, and let's see how that works out. My recommendation is you go down quickly. It'll be a lot easier on you. If we're going to be available, we've got to quit making excuses and start speaking the truth. Come into agreement with him. Now, laying on of hands is the starting block. I remember Mahesh talking about his early days when this started to make sense to him. He said as a young college student whom the Lord was training, he'd hang out at the handicapped spots at the supermarkets and department stores with a bottle of oil and offer to anoint people with oil and pray for them. And he said he got a wide array of responses, including some people got healed. And he was being trained by the Holy Spirit in that institution for the severely, emotionally, mentally, and physically impaired people. If you haven't had a chance to read Only Love Can Make a Miracle, it'll really build you up in your faith. Now, part of what we have to deal with once we get past being unavailable is the recognition that we're also unable. How many of you will take responsibility for healing another? Nobody in their right mind. Why? Because your hands are always empty. But once you become available, you start to see that it's okay to be unable. Because you don't have much to bring except empty hands and the promises of God in your heart. And so, I want to run through a few scenarios in the book of Luke to point out some things to us that we've experienced but perhaps didn't understand. In once Jesus left his hometown, and said he went on to teach in other villages, but in a particular passage in Luke chapter 5, there is this scene where Jesus is teaching. Understand, Jesus is physically in the room teaching, and there's in the crowd lawyers and Pharisees. You know how popular they were with him, or he with them. So Jesus is sitting there teaching, and Luke records this statement while Jesus is sitting there. The power of the Lord was present to perform healing. Now that's an unusual atmosphere. And this is the scenario where they lower the paralytic and Jesus speaks the word and gets up and goes, all right? But I want you to notice the scripture says that although Christ himself was sitting in the room, the Son of God, it additionally says, and the power of the Lord was present to perform healing. Have we seen that? Just a couple of weeks ago, if the Lord would let us market it, you know, we could just scoop the air, put it in a jar, healing presence in a jar. Now it's supposed to be through people. There are times when the atmosphere is so pregnant with the presence of the Lord, your antenna has to be up and your expectancy high because I'm telling you, I've learned this, he's about to do something. And if you go with it, he'll take you down that river of life and there's no telling what you might see or speak or do. Because we don't yet know the depths of the riches of his grace and what he will give us access to. So we have those atmospheres where the Lord shows up, his presence comes in such a fashion that anything can happen. In my journeys with Mahesh years ago, we were frequently in that atmosphere where the heaven just seemed to open and anything that was possible could be anything that was impossible could be made possible in that environment. We were doing a conference in the Midwest. I think it was Ohio. And he prayed for this woman. And her britches started falling off. She grabbed her pants and ran into the bathroom. She came back the next day to give this report. She lost 5 pant sizes in an instant. Now, many of you don't believe that. I was standing there watching it. And she testified the next morning, brought in the former breeches, and she's wearing smaller breeches. Now, that's a sign that makes you wonder. And Mahesh thought, well, if I could do this regularly, I'd open up a clinic. Thank you, sir. In the circumstances of living this stuff, we have seen those moments right here in this room. Lex and I were in one of those moments just a few weeks ago in Cuba. I've stood alone in the Ukraine when the Lord has showed up like that. I just speak a word and 40 people are healed. And then they just start testifying. You can't fabricate those. And you ought not ignore the possibility in the moment. But you have to be trained in the presence to know how to respond. That's why you have to practice and keep practicing and keep practicing, because He is the teacher. In Luke chapter 6, verse 19, all the people were trying to touch Him, for power was coming from Him and healing them all. Numbers of you here in the last few weeks have stood and testified that as you were praying, you felt something. The scripture calls the something virtue. We talk about it as electricity or heat or coldness. That's our language for trying to describe a spiritual phenomenon happening in the moment that changes the physical circumstances of another human being. But I know what it is to feel virtue pass through me. Numerous times, the presence of God comes from behind me and moves through me. And my response, my body's response, is to the presence. Y'all remember the story of the woman with the issue of blood? She'd spent everything with physicians. Nobody was able to help her, but she had heard about Jesus. Now, understand, in Jewish culture, a woman who has an issue of blood is considered unclean and is not to be in public. But she'd heard about Jesus. The upshot of the story is, He says, woman, your faith has made you well. Her faith in what? In Jesus. She believed He is the healer. So she presses through the crowd. And here's my language for what happens. She placed a demand upon the anointing. Because when you believe Jesus will, you're free to ask Him to with expectancy. But your actions have to be intentional. And she was unwilling to not press through in her unclean condition because she had faith that He would heal her. And she didn't ask Him for prayer. She just snuck up. Now, I know snuck is not a word. It's sneak, sneaked, and sneaked. I know because an English teacher corrected me years ago. But where I grew up, you snuck up on things. And she did. And she was. And Jesus said, I know someone touched me. Because I was aware that power had gone out of me. If you say you are unable, you are correct. You are unable to do this. But if you will become available, He is able, not because of your ability, but your availability. And you've got to get that clear in your mind. Don't assume responsibility that is His, but don't shirk the responsibility that is yours. Jesus is willing to enable you. The commission that He gives to His disciples we see in several locations, but He says this in Luke chapter 9, verse 1. Behold, He called the 12 and gave them power and authority over all demons and to heal diseases. Now, the thing I want you to lay hold of is this. These disciples were not born-again believers. Why? Because the resurrection had not occurred. Okay? So they're operating in his delegated authority. Now that you are born again and the Spirit resides in you, you are in Christ. And the authority and power that is his, you are now the administrator of that within your sphere. Luke chapter 10, he does the same thing with the 70. I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Authority, working definitions, authority is the right to act. Power is the ability to perform. Both of those reside in Christ. And who else is in Christ? Okay. Now, these are just words until you stretch forth your hand to heal. Okay? The last promise that Jesus made, promise of the Holy Spirit to those born again by that same Spirit, he said, "Behold, I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you." Who made the promise? Your Father. He promised that he would send his Spirit upon you. That's a pretty awesome promise, don't you think? And he told him, "Stay here in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." Now, notice this. He did not say, "Stay here until you are clothed with authority from on high." Because once you have been reconciled to the Father, you are authorized to speak on his behalf. For those of you who lack a steady stream of thought, in the last chapter of Luke, Jesus, the resurrected Christ, comes to the disciples and shows them from the Psalms and the prophets and the law the testimony of his death, burial, and resurrection. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. The resurrected Christ breathes on his disciples and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." But that's not until Acts chapter 1 or Acts chapter 2. What they are is born again, but not yet empowered. So whatever you picked up along the way that doesn't agree with the Scripture, go ahead and dust it out of your way. The methodology that Jesus used, I think, is important. Because if we say that Jesus is our model, he is our example, don't you think you ought to do what he did the way he did it? So how did he do it? Well, there's a couple of things that are very obvious. One is touch. Luke 4:40 says, "When the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and laying his hands on each one of them, he was healing them." Mahesh stood in a crowd of 25,000 people because he had said to 100-something thousand the night before, "All of you with desperate diseases, come tomorrow and I'll lay hands on you." He laid hands on 25,000 people that day, had six big, young, strong African men serving him. And I've watched what happens. He'll get started in this stuff, and then they'll just start falling like they were mowed down by a machine gun. And at the end of the day, he said, "I was so invigorated, and those other six were so exhausted." And here's the part that captured my heart. The Holy Spirit said to him, "I was really pleased to be with you today." See, we have the ability to give the Lord pleasure by simple acts of obedience, because they demonstrate something to him about our love for him. He was in church one morning when a woman who had been bent over for 18 years, caused by a spirit, came in, and he laid hands on her on the Sabbath. He broke the rules, and she was made whole. On another occasion, there was a man who had dropsy. We would call that today edema. But basically, he was swelling from tissue retention. And Jesus touched him and healed him. He also sometimes just spoke. He was in a situation where some lepers came to him. And they said, if you're willing, we could be clean. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they were going, all 10 of them got healed. And one, a non-Jew, a Samaritan, came back to say thanks. So if you get thanks out of 1 out of 10, you and the Lord are on the same page. On another occasion, he's in the synagogue, breaking the rules. A man with a withered hand, he said, stretch forth your hand. And as the man did, it was healed. On another occasion, the centurion says, don't even come into my home. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. And what did the Lord say about that? He turned and said, I have not found such great faith in Israel as this polytheistic Roman soldier is demonstrating right now. And what was the basis? Authority. The Roman said, I am a man under authority. Consequently, I have authority. I say to one, come, and he comes; to another, go, and he goes. So I recognize you are one who is under authority. Therefore, all you have to do is speak it. Now, if you are under authority, then you have authority. That works at multiple levels. But in this business of healing, whose authority are you under? You're under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in our Father's house, you're also under my authority. Because I have been appointed as the gatekeeper by God in this house. That means, if I don't authorize you, you don't minister here. And there have been those who have tried. And I don't put up with it. Because they're freelancers. They want to do their show in your situation. That's not how the kingdom is set up. So, I was listening to this former police officer who left the force and is now a stand-up comedian. And he said he used to enjoy doing things as a police officer, like when he'd see somebody in that little in-between area where it says authorized vehicles only, he'd pull in behind him and turn his lights on. He'd let him sit there for a moment, sweating. Then over the loudspeaker, he would say, I authorize you. Today, I authorize you to operate in that which Christ has made available to you. Okay? Now, we've done several things in these last few weeks, including the principle of precedent. Keisha's not here this morning. She and Robin are on their way to the hospital to pray for somebody. But she and I prayed last week for Summer. And God did something in Summer's situation. It's interview time, darling. Now, last week, you came to us with a certain set of circumstances, which were?
horrible chronic back pain and horrible shoulder pain.
Okie dokie. And I called Keisha over, and I had Keisha stand with her hands front and back of Summer. And I let her pray, and I helped her with some worrying. And what happened?
Well, the feeling was, after a few moments, it was total goosebumps, just head to toe. And then she kept praying, and then you had me test it and see. And I could move my back more in different directions than I ever could before. Well, I mean, over the last few years. And then I could move my shoulder back more. So we kept praying. And then that moment, I was crying because you could feel everything lifting away.
Okay.
It was an amazing feeling.
And how have things gone this week for you?
Well, I'll be honest. I was told by you that Devil would try to bring all the pain back and that I had to fight it off. So when I left here, I cried in the car a little bit because the bumps driving down the road didn't hurt, you know, things like that. So that was amazing. After a little bit of time on Sunday, a little pain tried to creep up, and I just warded it off and said I was already healed by the Holy Spirit. You can't do anything to me. And the most amazing feeling is when you can feel the pain literally start disappearing slowly from that exact spot, and it would go away. So over the week, it's gotten where it doesn't try to come back as much, but I just keep warding it off, and you can feel it go away, and I feel like now I could do cartwheels if I tried. So, but I'm not going to try. I'm not there yet. I'm not going to try yet, but, you know, maybe this coming week or something. So,
how have your sleep patterns been?
Oh, my gosh. So I could not sleep on my stomach. And prior to this, to tell you how bad it was, I was on disability for a year because of back pain. I saw a chiropractor every 6 weeks for an entire year. Feel great right afterwards. Rest of the day was horrible. Still could not sleep on my stomach or anything like that. And the other night, I woke up on my stomach in panic mode because I was like, I'm not going to be able to get up. So I started to move, and I was like, oh, my gosh, this feels great. So I was just like, stay away from me, you know, even though he hadn't come back. I just want to make sure. And then I went back to sleep, and it felt fantastic. So, and I woke up in the morning, and I didn't have any pain. I haven't slept on my stomach again. I just haven't woke up that way, but that was awesome. So, yeah.
Isn't that wonderful? Now, is anyone here suffering from back pain this morning? All right, all right, all right. This young lady wants to pray for you. She didn't know that, but she does. Why? Why would she pray for those who have back pain? Because she knows God heals back pain. Okay, that's why our testimony is so important. You don't have to do everything. All of us can do one thing, and that makes everything better. Now, Jay, she'll need a little coaching. And I'm busy at the moment, so those of you with back pain, come visit Summer and Jay. He's calling you over there.
Oh,
yeah, that's what that was.
You said come over there.
Well, he changed our mind. Look at this. Look at this. Goodness gracious. Now, here is an opportunity for the Holy Spirit, okay? But if we don't make room, this never happens. Now, there's going to be some people healed in the next few minutes, and they're going to testify. Okay? Now, who else is suffering from some affliction this morning? Raise your hand. There's one, 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 there's one. There's one, and there's one, and there's one. Great. There's another one. There's another one. Okay. Stand up where you are and tell me what your situation is. Okay, how many of you women have had relief in this area of your body from prayer? Okay, you, come down here and pray for her. Go to where she is. Here comes someone who has been healed in that area of the body. They believe God can do that, all right? Pray for her. What's yours, Tara? All right, headaches. Who has been delivered from those atrocious headaches? Come pray for this girl right here. She wants to be relieved right now. All right, Mark?
Shoulder pain.
Oh, well, who else, because she's busy, who else has been healed of shoulder pain? You have? You have shoulder pain, okay. Okay, come over to where this guy is. Wayne is going to pray for both of you because God healed him, what was it, 3 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago of shoulder pain, and he knows God will heal shoulder pain. Do y'all see how easy this is? Are you getting it? Okay. If you will give back what God gave to you, he will give it to somebody else and multiply it through you. It's not the plate spinner. It's the audience that matters. Young? Chronic neck pain? We had that recently. Who was healed of chronic neck pain? Are you here this morning? Neck pain. Hello? Wouldn't you know they didn't come on the day you needed them? Come up here, honey. I'll pray for you. Glenn. Okay.
It's not healed. It might have been better at the time, but it came back.
Okay.
And I have arthritis in my hands. I have arthritis in my shoulders. I have hip pain. Lots of different joint pains.
Okay. Glenn said something I want you to pay attention to. He said, it came back. Right? Because I saw him get up out of this chair the day we prayed for his knees. I watched it with my own eyes. I heard him testify to it. Now, the devil is relentless. He wants to steal from you the testimony of what the Holy Spirit did for you. What did Summer say that she did? She rebuked it every time it came back, and she could feel it moving away. You have to stand in the certainty of what God has done for you. All right? Yes, darling. All right, you come over here and you pray for Glenn because she's been healed from all of that. The two of you agree in prayer with him. Lalani? I know that's your name. I want to know what the condition is. Michelle, fibromyalgia. Michelle was healed about, what, 3 weeks ago? 6 weeks ago? 3 weeks ago. Yeah, what?
When I was here and I was pretty poor, I had this feeling of part of me was in a dark place, and that is gone.
Praise God. Yeah. Yeah. Praise God for that deliverance from depression. Thank you, honey. Pray for her. Danielle? Swelling in the right hand. Who's dealt with swelling? All right, come on up here. We'll pray for you up here. Pete? Who's been healed of ringing in the ears? Come on up here, Pete. I don't think just because I'm calling them up here, this is all my workload. That ain't going to happen. Fred? Who got healed? Somebody got healed in their pain in their mouth just recently. Are y'all here this morning? Whoever that was? I remember the story. I don't remember the person. Come on up here, friend. Who we got left? Ronnie? Congestion and... Mm-hmm. Send the prophetic type up here and bring your husband with you. Josh? Okay, come on over here. And let Becca pray for you. Nancy? Who has dealt with fungal infections? Anybody dealt with fungal infections? You've been a part of that healing process. Come on up here, Nancy. If we don't have a precedent, we pray to get one. Okay? Chris? And Tim's not here today. Who else has been healed of allergies? Who? Beth. Okay, Beth has. All right, come let Beth pray for you. She's got faith for that. Stacy? Emotional pain? Oh, I know who needs to pray for you. Come here, honey. Mary, go to work. Have I overlooked anyone? Dry eyes and bursitis. Come over here and let Rebecca pray for you as well. This is a bone thing. Okay? Mary is coming, honey. She has great grace in this area, as does her partner in crime, Marie. What's that?
Music. Do you want the band back on the stage?
He's getting prayed for. Well, no, wait. Find out. Now, oh, hi, darling. I'm sorry. You're standing behind all those tall people. Okay. All right. All right. I'll send somebody to you. Don't go through the effort of coming up here. We'll send somebody to you. Who among us has been delivered of lung problems? Oh, I know somebody who has. I've got a lady back here who needs her lungs healed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Where'd she be?
Come on. Come on. Right. Duh. Young lady, this gentleman had his lung healed about a month and a half ago. Take advantage of the opportunity previously afforded you to lay hands on the sick to see if they will recover when you pray, and you're willing to go at risk with the Holy Spirit this morning, come on up here. I got people that need prayer. How about you guys lining up facing that way so I can stick a couple of folks in front of you? All right? Get around in front of them, two by two if you can, if we have enough. Two of you, stand next to this young lady right here. Rebecca, I want you to put your back to the platform and face the audience. Okay? There you go. Now, you guys are praying for these people. Okay.
Actually,
now,
I was going to say, I've actually been healed of neck pain before because I've watched my arms muscle.
Thank you.
There's been a word. I don't know if there's a Jennifer in here, but there's been a word for a Jennifer that if you're ready to take that next step, the Lord is saying to give it to Him, to let go of that little piece that you're holding on to. If you want to move forward, He's there, He's waiting, and He's got His arms open. So if you have that, your name is Jennifer, please come up. Is there Jennifer in here? Is there a Jennifer that's related to anybody that's in here that's a friend or a family member, an associate at school?